Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, a Christchurch tribute, a couple of surprise outs at West Coast, a big start to the new season. We can't wait. And can the Dockers overcome a horror week against the Roos on Sunday?
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday. That means it's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast, the second edition this week, brought to you by Tab Touch. Quarters, it's the podcast
where there's only one certainty in life, and that's death. You can bet your life on it, Duff.
Dennis Pagan.
One of the greats.
Dual premiership coach at North Melbourne.
That's right.
I can add a little bit to that because the great Richmond centre-half forward Royce Hart, who became the mediocre Footscray coach,
he did.
Royce Hart, upon getting the boot back in the 1970s, said there are three certainties in life: death, taxes, and getting the arse as a football coach.
Well, he showed a lot of prescience. He's right.
He was,
every coach would agree with that. You know, Royce Hart picked himself at centre. He picked his own team of the century at the end of his career, picked himself at centre-half forward.
Well, clearly he had a higher opinion of himself, and Royce Hart, incidentally, was one of the greats and probably had a legitimate claim.
He did. But my next point was, probably deserved to be there. He was an absolute gun, this bloke. He really was.
So, Royce Hart was very good friends with Alan Schwab, father of Cameron Schwab. Cameron Schwab once told me a great story how he and his father and Royce Hart were in a cab. I think they were going home from the races. And the cabbie started, without knowing who he had in the cab with him, started waxing lyrical about what a great player Royce Hart was, how he was his favourite player, how his exploits were the stuff of legend, blah, blah, blah. Went on for 5 or 10 minutes, Schwabby reckon. And eventually Royce couldn't contain himself any longer. And he said, "Mate, I'm so flattered to hear you say that because I am Royce Hart." And the cabbie said, "Yeah, and I'm the bloody Queen of Sheba."
Well, my mate was having a beer at the All Nations Hotel in Richmond and was absolutely bagging Nathan Buckley, and when he was a Collingwood player, and he's a Collingwood supporter, my mate Croz. And he turns around and there's Nathan Buckley standing there just grinning. He said, "Oh, g'day, mate." Timing.
Now, Duff, the joys of being a footballer, yes.
Duff, with just hours left until the season starts, our listeners out there, make sure they register at thegame.com.au for footy tipping and pick 7, where there's a Mazda BT50 with Boss Adventure Pack worth more than $67,000 up for grabs. Have you done your pick 7 yet?
I haven't done my pick 7 yet. I'm sure there'll be somebody waiting at my sports desk when I go back there to make sure I've done
it. Yes, yes. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show through iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Please do, and leave a review.
BT50. My mother and father have a BT50 Mazda Ute. It is a damn fine car. Driven it a few times. Absolutely worth every cent.
Well, it beats my Toyota Corolla Levin, albeit a little sporty one. But it's a little thing.
So, Quarters, this afternoon, our time. This evening, Melbourne time. 90,000 people at the MCG.
It's great.
Great to have footy back, and it'll be a little bit of a sombre occasion given the events in Christchurch last week. What are the arrangements?
Well, there'll be a minute's silence tonight and for our friends in Christchurch, and throughout the course of the weekend, all teams will be wearing black armbands. So a nice gesture, and of course, all our thoughts are with our great friends over there across the ditch.
And I would imagine it will resonate especially with someone like Bashahuli.
Absolutely, it will, mate. You know, I think we all have connections. I mean, we're very close countries, and my old man's from Christchurch, so he has a great depth of knowledge of the place, and very sad of the events in recent times. This is where footy's at its best, stuff. We combine together and a strong show of support, and the AFL does that really well when they need to.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of the areas where football does show great community leadership, and it has to, and all high-profile sports should too, because there are enough people around trying to fracture our society and divide it. It is important that popular sports with respected people actually set the example that you can bring our society closer together and unite it for the better of all people rather than going the other way.
Generally speaking, while the ball is bouncing until the final siren, we do barrack and support for our teams, which is great. But at the end of it and before it, we do come together and, you know, footy's footy. But don't you, there's something about the day of the first day, the day of the opening game of round one. All the, you know, we've been through silly season and we're now there's going to be a ball bounced and it's just an excitement. I can feel it. Can you?
I can. I love watching the front bar on Channel 7 last night.
That was brilliant.
With Fitzy and the Collingwood supporter who was fantastic. Right next to Dom Shee when he took that shot at goal. And gave him the thumbs up afterwards, and Fitzy handed him the cake and the signed football and the supporter of the year photo.
Of course, we're talking about the Collingwood supporter who was on the fence when Dom Sheed was taking his kick for goal in the final stage of the grand final and gave him the thumbs up.
Gave him the thumbs up after he kicked the goal.
But then they should replay what he said as he was going in to kick the goal.
And gave him the middle finger.
I'm not a great lip reader, Duff, but I could pretty well pick up what he was saying.
So one syllable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Starting with F.
Well, yeah, or a few other choice ones thrown in there too. I'm sure Dom Sheed would have, you know, obviously I think you learn to block that stuff out, but it'd be just a cacophony. It'd be like a wall of sound, but I'm sure the odd one would filter through.
Well, he almost turned directly to face the guy, and the guy just went, to his credit, just put his thumbs up and went, yep, fair play to you, mate.
Yeah, well what more can you say? It was a great goal, great kick, and sometimes you just got to acknowledge that.
Oh, some Collingwood supporters would have given him another spray.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about last year's grand final, after the Eagles won, you think to yourself, oh, it's going to be a hell of a walk back to the city. It'd be a great walk back to the city, but geez, there'd be some fodder you have to deal with on the way back. But from all reports, they're pretty good Collingwood supporters after the grand final.
Yeah, I think they were fine last year. It was feral after Richmond won.
Well, they were tipping trams
in
over.
They closed Swan Street.
Yeah, they were tipping trams over. Well, trying to tip trams over.
Yep. Swan Street was full, and so was everybody on it.
Mate, and I used to live near there. I've been down Swan Street on a good day.
Yeah, it's kind of the realm of the cashed up bogan, the pubs at Swan Street. Yeah. You can get your head caved in there pretty easily.
Yeah, exactly, mate. So now a bit of talk today, a bit of buzz around.
But not the London Tavern.
No, great footy pub.
That is a great footy pub.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. There's another one called the Royal. I think it's the Royal on Hoddle Street. And you go over there after, if your footy team's won, you go over there because they just play your theme song over and over and over again. Also get served beer by some interesting ladies. But anyway, it's a good place to be, the Royal Hotel.
All right, let's start with the traditional season opener between the Tigers and the Blues.
Yes.
I'm expecting an improved showing from the Blues, Glenn. I think that I've loved what I've seen of Sam Walsh. And I think just a lot of their young players are at that third, fourth year stage where young players often take a big step forward. So I'm just a little curious to see how this one plays out. I'm going to tip Richmond, but what do you reckon?
Well, I was thinking last night, I'll get my comedy hat on here, Duff. I was thinking last night, Brendan Bolton keeps talking about the green shoots he's laid out there, and then along comes Lachie Plowman, you know, just to wreck it all for him. But on a serious note, Sam Walsh is like obviously, I think that what we're looking forward to.
And of course, after a good rain, Caleb Marchbank too, he comes in pretty handy.
Boom, boom, we're on a roll, Duff. We'll be opening Edinburgh next year.
Alongside puppetry of the penis.
Sam Walsh, I think we're really interested, number one draft pick. He's had a great JLT. He's going to be a Jet. I think we should probably temper it a little bit because expecting a kid to go out there and get his 20-plus and 10 contested, you know, four quarters of the real stuff is a big ask. If anyone's going to do it, this kid will. But really interested in seeing him. But I think just temper our expectations a little bit with him.
Yep, 18 good possessions where he's clean. Yep. He doesn't flinch in the clinches, uses the ball well and makes good decisions and defends well. That'll be what we'll be looking for from Sam Walsh tonight.
Yeah, and I think we're all expecting an improved Carlton this year. I think 8 wins would be a good season for them. I expect Richmond to win this game by 20-plus. I don't think it'll be a massive blowout. Last year, of course, Carlton was 6 goals in front before we'd even blinked, and then Richmond gradually pegged them back. Of course, for Richmond, on the other side of the ledger, we're all interested. Now that Tom Lynch is a confirmed starter, I think the two things we're interested in, I think it's about round 14 or 15 last year since Lynch has played. Has a wonderful record against Carlton as a Gold Coast player. Tears them apart every time he plays against them. How's he going to combine with Jack Riewoldt? How's that Richmond forward line going to function? Of course, we're all used to seeing that Richmond forward line that set the flag standard 2 years ago and throughout most of last year. You know, all those really talented small forwards with Jack Riewoldt the focal point. Well, now we've got Lynch and Riewoldt as focal points. How does that play out?
And also,
Bolter.
Yeah, so clearly Bolter's going to be the second ruck, isn't he?
Yep.
So
what happens to Griggs now?
Well, I think somebody said when they announced the new ruck rules and the new centre square setups, I remember one of the players saying, actually, I think it was McGovern, Jeremy McGovern at West Coast pre-season camp up at Cervantes. He said, you're not going to see Sean Grigg in the ruck anymore,
yeah.
Basically, because, you know, that's just asking to get gutted at a stoppage and also have the other ruckman take clean possession.
I think the fear, I think we're all generally like the 6-6-6 and we like the fact there's more space and we're going to see more one-on-ones after goals, certainly.
Mm.
We're going to see great midfields against great midfields. The fear we have is that one side's midfield gets on top, there's going to be blowouts. I think that's a justified fear. I certainly hope we don't get it with round one because we're all being critical of this fixture for good reason. It seems to be a lock for some reason, but I think maybe 2-3 years down the track, this could be a great fixture.
When Carlton get good, Richmond will go over the hump and they'll be terrible and it'll be one side or the other way.
Yeah, probably. So, look, let's just hope that's not the case. There will be blowouts this year, so get used to it. But I think temper that with the fact that there's going to be some really good one-on-one contests and hopefully we see the return of the 100-goal full forward this year.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that'll happen tonight, one of the things that will cause one-sided stoppage scenarios will be a dominant ruckman. I think you can argue that Nankervis is a good ruckman, but he's not Nick Natanui or Paddy Ryder or Max Gawn or Brodie Grundy. And of course, Carlton have Phillips. So there's no one that's going to really take this game by the scruff of the neck in the ruck. Richmond's midfield could get hold of them a bit.
That's the fear. I guess that's the fear. And it's still it's a relatively youthful Carlton midfield. So
Quarters spoke to Michael Broadbridge, the state coach, earlier in the week, and we asked him to just come up with some tactical scenarios given these rule changes.
I read that in the West today. It's interesting stuff.
So he's talking, he said it's hard to go into specifics because every club will have different ploys and tactics based on their personnel. But he said the thing, if I was you, I'd be watching for is for the guy coming hard from the top of the 50-metre arc.
In defence,
leaving his team 5v6, but basically trying to either get the ball on the fly on the way past, or if the opposition gets the ball, to get up in their face and cause what Ross Lyon likes to call dirty disposal into the forward line, high. And so 5v6 can defend that. And then they can hopefully get the rebound and turn it around and go the other way.
Of course, there'll be someone coming from the opposite 50-metre arc to nullify that individual. So I think the fascination with this, the new rules and how the coaches are going to react to it. And, we'll see the first instalment of that tonight because we really wouldn't have seen much in the JLT. They're not going to show their cards. We'll see the first instalment of it tonight.
And the other thing that Brodie pointed out, and this is interesting because I've actually got Sydney as one of my sliders. He said, Sydney have the potential to generate a significant home ground advantage at the SCG because he said
smaller.
Well, the 50-metre arcs are virtually on the back of the square. So he said they can actually do it there. They can have their set positions and set up to defend an opposition dominating the clearance. So that's an interesting point Brodie's brought up.
Now, wasn't that when Damien Drum was reserves coach of Sydney?
Yes.
And Rodney Eve was the senior coach of Sydney. He showed up one day halfway through the reserves and said to Damien, why is there no centre half forward? He said, well, because it's a smaller ground. I've just decided not to have one. He said, let's have a centre half forward back now, please. So it has been used by coaches in the past to see what they can experience. And you're quite right. It would be really interesting to see how that plays out for the Swans. And if that becomes a significant home ground advantage, see, I don't expect them to slide so much. I have them in towards the bottom end of the eight. At GWS's expense. But, we'll see what happens with Sydney.
Okay, so going on to Friday.
We're both tipping Richmond. Yeah, I think we're both tipping Richmond. Friday, Collingwood v Geelong. Oh, really looking forward to this game. Collingwood, I think in Dane Beams, so a really, really, probably the best midfield in it, becomes even stronger.
Yep.
Two other significant ins for Collingwood are Jamie Elliott in the forward line. We all know how good he is. Didn't get on the park last year. I hope for footy's sake he gets on the park. I love watching him. And Darcy Moore looks fit and healthy. And if he can cement a spot in that back half, they're going to be even stronger. So stronger midfield, definitely stronger forward line and defence in what is already a very deep side. For Geelong, the fascination it will be with Jordan Clark, Tom Atkins, Charlie Constable and Ryan Myers debuting. Jordan Clark in particular, WA boy. We've seen a bit of him, obviously, over here, but we've seen a bit of him already in the JLT and he's looked terrific. He's going to be some talent.
So are they confirmed his contract extension yet, or is that still in the pipeline?
No, I don't remember them confirming it.
So the word was that they were so stoked with Jordan Clark that they were going to extend him out by 2 or 3 years before round one. That what they'd seen.
I would do it now if I was them.
And they were just going to try and head off all advances from West Coast and Fremantle in the coming years and nail him down. And obviously they've also got, I guess they've been spooked a bit by what happened with Tim Kelly last year. So moving quickly to put that one out of the picture.
Well, I would if I was them. You can't write Geelong off. We just don't know where they're almost, aren't they, Geelong? Almost. But they're not quite. You're not going to put them in that top four bracket.
You were going to call them almost, and yeah. I was going to call them not quite.
There you go.
And
so I think Collingwood wins this game. It's a toss of a weighted coin is the best way to put it. I think it's weighted in Collingwood's favour. But
the sort of coin a Collingwood person would toss.
Would put in their pocket and steal and run off with. I'm sorry. Probably a bit unfair on Collingwood supporters there. I think Collingwood will win, yeah.
Okay, Collingwood for me as well. Melbourne v Port Adelaide quarters, Saturday, MCG. Well, I've got the D's in my top four, and I've got Port sliding a bit. What about you, and what do you think happens here?
I've got Port sliding a bit. I've got Melbourne in my top five. They could be anything. The significant ins for them will be when Lever comes back, and I think that's what, still about 8 to 10 weeks away.
So there must have been a hiccup there because, you know, your run-of-the-mill knee recon is a 12-month injury, and he went very early last year. So clearly the rehab hasn't gone absolutely tickety-boo. There's probably been there may not be major hiccups, but there may have been little hiccups that have just set him back a bit.
So when he comes in, Lever, of course, was one of the best third sort of defenders when he was playing for Adelaide, probably the best of his type, intercept mark type of player. So now with the inclusion of May, who's not playing round one, but when he comes into that Melbourne defence with Lever, they're going to be a really, really good defence, so if they're not already. I like Melbourne. I like the bookends. They've got really good tours. I love Tom McDonald. He can plant himself down in attack now, and he can stay there permanently. Arguably the best ruckman in the competition, himself or Brody Grundy. So there's a lot to like about Melbourne. Port Adelaide, 11 different players from the final round last year, and I think so in comes Ryan Burton, Connor Rosie, just trying to think of the other kids. So there's six new players and 11 different players from last year, I believe, for Port. So they're going to be a new look side. Obviously the club has backed Hinkley to, it's a bit of a
A mini build.
So
what did Ross call it? A re-stump, rewire, replumb.
They call it, they're different in South Australia. It's a mini build. So
it's a check side build.
I think the thing with this is Melbourne has to.
Pie floater build.
A pie floater. Never got that. Never. I've had one outside a casino very late. Probably not the best time to eat, but I've never got the pie floater thing. Melbourne sort of have to win this stuff, I think, because if they're the real deal, these are the games they have to win. And round one, I mean, it's 23 rounds, but you can get, and yes, you've got to look at the big picture, but I just think it's very important, home game against a side that's not expected to make the 8, they need to win this. Melbourne, I'm picking them.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like you're 4 points in arrears if you lose this, if you're Melbourne.
And the thing about Melbourne, I wonder if we've all been a bit sucked in by their very bad preliminary final against the Eagles over here. Eagles obviously were playing good footy, but they did have two good finals in the lead up to that and had a great year, Melbourne. So I'm just not sure whether my worry with Melbourne is that there's a, strangely enough, for the most contested ball side in the comp,
a bit of a soft underbelly to them. You just want to tell more jokes about the ski fields, the Melbourne club.
Yes, I do.
Cognac, cigars.
Yes, I do.
And names like Montague.
Of course,
and
I do.
And what was the other one you said? There was Monty. And
oh, Monty. They're all Monty.
They're the full Monty.
Oh, the Melbourne club and whiskey and, you know, weed ram and all those jokes about the snowfields. You know, at the moment, there's really cheap accommodation up there for September. So, you know, get in now.
Okay. Adelaide v Hawthorn, Adelaide Oval, Saturday afternoon. Quarters, can your boys cause an upset, and it will be an upset, and roll the Crows?
They can cause an upset, but they won't. I mean, they're capable. Tom Mitchell is a huge out for Hawthorn. I think that's been pre-season, I think, before Mitchell, oh, let's call it pre-injury. So pre-Mitchell's injury, I thought Hawthorn was a silly chance to win the flag this year. And I say silly because I really didn't think that the Hawks were capable. Now I think there's no chance of the flag. I think he's that important to them. And I say that with, you know, Chad Wingard will come in. I'm told Tom Scully is 2-3 weeks away of returning through Box Hill. So that's great news for Hawthorn. I mean, if they get him on a wing, that becomes a I think if you add sort of Wingard and Scully, you start thinking, you know, that's, you're probably back there. You probably replaces Mitchell is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So lots of light. There's, you know, a bit of a new look about the Hawks. Lewis Mitchell in the forward line. Have a good look at him. He's a good player. Cousins in the middle will be good. Warple. These guys will help. I don't think Hawthorn, they're talking about Adelaide winning this comfortably. I think it'll be a reasonably close game. I think Hawthorn will give a good count of themselves, but I expect Adelaide to win. I expect them to be a top five side this year. I think last year was a horrible year for them. Began badly in the preseason. They had a lot of injuries. They get Brad Crouch back this year. And Brodie Smith back this year.
Brodie Smith is, like, they're both massive ins, aren't they? Like, Brad Crouch, absolute contested ball monster.
30 possessions, probably 20 of them contested.
And Brodie Smith gives them that bounce and run off halfback. And if you combine him in with guys like Paul Seedsman and Rory Laird, then that ball movement that used to cut teams apart in 2017, that comes back into focus. And then their forwards like Betts, like Walker, even with Mitch McGovern gone, you know, they've still got Tom Lynch to link it all up. They've still got Josh Jenkins to get the Joe the Gooses over the back.
Yeah. Tom Lynch, really important player to them in that link-up play. And I think I've got a feeling Adelaide's this year is going to be a horrible place to play Adelaide.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is a statement game for the Crows. This is a bit like Melbourne versus Port at the MCG, I think. If you're setting out to do what I think Adelaide are setting out to do, you win this.
Yep.
Even though Hawthorn are still credible and they're brilliantly coached, I think Adelaide wins this game, so I'll be tipping them.
I think Tarly is out with a knee. There's a bit of a hole there for them. Don't be surprised if Fogarty goes back. Obviously known as a forward, but and still at that stage of his career where touted very early, we know he can play. Could be a breakout year for him this year, but don't be surprised if he goes back early.
This is an interesting one, Quarters. Western Bulldogs v Sydney, Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
Which way are you going?
Well, I'm going with the Sydney jumpers because have you seen the Western Bulldogs jumpers, the Thor design? Well, as I think I said in Tuesday's podcast, Hawthorn's Blue Diamonds of the 80s, they've been knocked out of the park because this is the worst jumper I've ever seen.
You told us that on Tuesday?
But
you've now reiterated it and confirmed it?
I think the Dogs, so one of those sides I think could be banging back on the door of the eight. I don't expect Sydney to slide as much as most people. They've got great kids. Well, they're not kids anymore. They're in that, you know, the Heaneys and the Mills of this world. They're getting up. They've got that really good core of experience now. And I think they'll be, if they haven't already had breakout years, I think they might climb up into that elite level this year. There's a lot to like about Sydney still. I think the rules could suit Buddy if he's fit. I think, if, as we were talking about Sydney before, if he gets one-on-one, I think it could be a 100-goal season for Buddy if he's fit. I hope it is, because it's just going to be a highlight reel after highlight reel. Mm. I'm going to pick Sydney this week. Western Bulldogs, obviously, they've had a bit of a refit. There'll be a bit of a new look about them. I think Tim English will now put up his hand to be the number one ruck. He's put on a bit of bulk because there wasn't much of him, but a lot of ability but not much muscle. I think he's bulked up a bit. He'll be their number one ruckman. I think they've got a couple of... So Johannesson's still out, I think? I think he's out still. Lin Jong's out. They have got a few missing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Doggies.
Yep.
And the main reason I'm going with the Doggies is where it is. When in doubt, go with the home team. It's early. I think they'll all be up and about, and I think they'll want to play strongly in front of their members at home. And I get the feeling the Swans are going to slide a bit. Mm. And I know, yeah, Buddy's going to be a factor. I accept that. And they've certainly got, you know, your Luke Parkers and all those guys, the big contested beasts in and around the middle. But I think the Bulldogs early in the season will be hard to beat. They'll be hard to beat there, and I think they may get the Swans on Saturday.
Jackson McRae, Hunter, Wallace, Liberatore, Bontempelli.
It's a good midfield.
It is a good midfield. What worries me is they've, as a fine a player as he is, Gowers, I think, was their leading goal kicker last year. I worry about their goal. Who's going to kick them? That's my concern for them. I'm picking Sydney. I think it's a bit of a toss of the coin.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the next one is Brisbane v West Coast. West Coast being sent to the frontier instead of being able to unfurl their premiership flag at home in round one.
And I've got some... before I get on to the latest update here, latest injury news, they should be playing at home. We've had this discussion, but I just think opening their season, they're not going to unfurl anything because they're playing at the Gabba. I just think the reigning premier should open at home. And if it's a case, if it's a rotation and the Dockers have got the home game this year as Optus, then you, as you suggested, play them both at home and week one.
Or even just say to Fremantle, we'll store this up, and whenever
you win,
West Coast doesn't win, you get two in a row. Or if you win again, you get three in a row.
And Fremantle, if you win five flags in a row, you open then at five seasons in a row. That's, I think, the reigning premier gets the rights to open the season. I just think it's lacked a bit of oomph.
I think the other thing is that I don't think there's anything to stop them from fixturing two games in Western Australia. It would be something new. It would be something exciting. I think the fans would embrace it. And I think they've missed a trick. But they often miss a trick when it's outside of Melbourne, Glenn.
Yes, they do. I won't disagree with that. So confirmed today, Cripps and JK, Josh Kennedy, both out.
Yep.
Barras and Rioli in doubt, both with foot injuries. And Hickey to make his debut with the club. So I think we'll be talking Oscar Allen, Petrocelli and possibly Brander in.
And do you think Jake Waterman makes the cut as well?
Well, I hope he does. I think he should. I have him ahead of Brander. I think Oscar Allen has to play, and I'd play him every week. I think Petrocelli will play, particularly with Cripps out. But I think, I'd like to see Waterman there. I liked his preseason.
So this is becoming a bit of a dilemma for West Coast. JK's got a foot. Cripps has got a toe or a foot. Rioli's now got a foot. Barras has got a foot. Elliot Yeo had a foot.
So we're talking about the hardness of the surface.
And they play at arguably the hardest surface I've ever seen.
Well, Gabba's very hard too, so that might have something to do with no Josh Kennedy this week. But, yeah, you're right. Optus Stadium has got that reputation. Round one last year,
Buddy
kicked eight, and Sydney were basically saying he never really recovered from that during the season.
Bruised heel.
Yeah, so, look, there could be something in that.
The betting in this one's interesting, Quarters, from Tab Touch. West Coast $1.48. You expect them to be favourites as the reigning premiers, and obviously Brisbane coming off a 5-win season. Brisbane $2.65. I think the bookies think this is going to be a bit closer than a lot of people think.
I would agree with that. I'm going to pick West Coast. I think they should win. But this is one, Brisbane will really fancy themselves. They're the side I expect most likely to come into the eight of those outside it. I think there's a lot of talent there. They've gained Lockie Neal, and Jared Lyons, by the way. There are question marks over his defensive capabilities, but I bet you, I reckon I wouldn't be surprised if you see those capabilities come to the fore in this new system. So I think Brisbane's, there's a lot to like about them. The one question mark is where Harris Andrews is going to play. He's made his name in defence.
Has to play back.
Well, there's talk of him playing forward.
I would play Harris Andrews back. Why turn an A-grade defender into a C-grade forward?
He's played patches in attack in the preseason. The theory being he could take a bit of the pressure off Hipwood, who I expect to have a... He looked fantastic in JLT2 and looked pretty good in JLT1 as well. Really good side. They'll be winning more games this year, Brisbane. Could be this one, but I'm back in West Coast.
Yeah, fascinating to see Lockie Neal spearhead their midfield. I think Dane Beams is a massive loss, but you've got to love their young talent. Quarters mentioned Andrews and Hipwood. McCluggage running through the middle. Jared Berry running through the middle. Cam Rayner, the powerhouse mid-size half forward.
Cam Rayner.
There is a lot to like about them. Alec Witherden coming out of the back. There's a lot of very good young players.
Haven't even mentioned Zorko, and you know what I mean. There's a lot of depth there. More depth than you think about when you look at their squad, and you think, wow.
So West Coast, give us a margin.
I'm going to say 15 points. I don't think it'll be that comfortable a win, but I think they'll get. I think the thing with West Coast is it's a much shorter preseason. When you win a flag, you get 4 weeks less than teams that didn't make the finals to get ready for the following season. Plus, there was a longer extended break over the Christmas period, 3 weeks now, which the AFL Players Association asked for and got. So there's been much less preparation time for the Eagles. So if you're going to get them, I reckon you're going to get them early. And round one at the Gabba, they're gettable.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go West Coast under 20 points. I'm about the same as you. I think their experience may prevail in the end, but I think Brisbane will give them a little bit of a fright for three quarters or so. St Kilda v Gold Coast.
I was going to say.
Marvel Stadium Sunday.
Strap yourself in for some excitement. With all due respect to our friends at St Kilda.
You look like you just let your belt out a notch there.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm just trying to talk this game up, mate, but I'm struggling, to be honest. So I'm not sure if Jack Stephen's going to play, but I'm very pleased.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, there's no Carlisle, no Hanbury. What I'm looking forward to is seeing how competitive Gold Coast are. Because I think most people have them winning no games this year. I'm suggesting they'll win a couple. They will win a couple.
Well, this one's a good chance.
This is a good chance. This is round one. Alan Richardson wants to win this game. If they lose to Gold Coast in round one,
the Heat comes on straight away.
Well, it's already on. Yeah. And I think the Heat will come on. St Kilda, what I'm looking forward to is seeing what sort of an influence Brett Ratten has. So Brett Ratten was previously obviously a Carlton coach. He was an assistant at Hawthorn. He's now gone to St Kilda. There are very big raps on him. Anyone who's played under him will tell you he's got a great footy brain. I think you'll see a bit of an improved St Kilda midfield setup this year. There's a lot of players missing, though. I think Carlisle's missing. Hanbury's going to be missing for 4 or 5 weeks. Mm. That's a disaster for them. A disaster. Yeah. But, you know, you still think there's enough there. You know, Seb Ross, Jack Steele, there's talent. McCartan, question marks over him with his KO. So
I know he's got, look, there's a link between diabetes and concussion. People say that. But I just think Paddy McCartan's got to stop sticking his head where people's hips are.
Yep.
He's just got that sort of like stumbly approach to the ball, and his head often gets low when he needs to keep it up. Sooner or later, you've got to put your head down over the ball, but you do get the right to choose the moment when you do it. Often Paddy's head is down too early for too long, and he gets clipped by, you know, just an inadvertent accidental hip, and then suddenly he's got a concussion issue.
I guess you've got to feel for him because there's absolutely no questioning his courage, and this is what we're talking about. But sometimes, and the commentary around this from players who've played 200-plus AFL games are saying, there's nothing wrong with sometimes weighing up this contested situation and taking a forward position, or you don't have to be in the middle of it. And he does keep the KOs for him are really the sort of, yeah, you're right. He puts his head in the wrong position, so he needs more awareness when he's entering those contests.
He does, just body awareness. You know, get your shoulder and your hips where you were putting your head. Mm. And you don't have to crash into anyone and knock their head off. Just protect yourself.
And there is an instinctive way to do it. Not that I was any great shakes, but, you know, when you are entering those packs at whatever level, there's an instinctive way that you learn to enter them where while you're putting, giving yourself the best opportunity to mark the footy or punch it, you're protecting yourself.
And quite as I learned the foolproof way to do it too as a junior.
What's that? Getting knocked out?
Stand on the outside and call for a handball.
Well, I was always punching because of my small hands. So I think, you know, I'll be really interested to see how competitive Gold Coast are. Rankine, unfortunately, we won't see Rankine. He's out for a little while. Lukosius and Ben King, we will see. They're going to be the side you sort of pencil in 4 points for every week, but I just hope it's a competitive 4 points.
I look forward to seeing Lukosius and Ben King. I saw Ben King play in the 18s last year. He played as a forward last year, mainly because his brother Max had the knee injury and wasn't playing.
They're playing him back this year.
He was a natural defender, yeah. So he was very impressive as a forward at 18s level. I'm really fascinated to see him play. Lukosius just sounds to me like that classy either end of the ground forward who can play as your main forward, your centre-half forward, your mobile forward, and maybe eventually take a turn in that, like a Matthew Pavlich type.
Yeah, I mean, he'll play everywhere.
He sounds a bit like that.
Yeah, look, there's big raps on him. So if you're a Gold Coast fan, and there are some of them out there, Duff, in Western Australia, there are some of them out there in Perth, Gold Coast fans.
There's a few down in Esperance, actually.
Yeah.
A few Gold Coast fans down in Esperance.
Just, you know, there's you've got to look at the long term. You've got to have long-term vision. And they've lost a lot of players. Obviously, Gold Coast has been a drain on them. They've reconfigured, and this is a fresh start for them.
Yep, I agree.
I think we're both going for it sounds
St Kilda
like
by
nervously tipping St Kilda by, say, three goals.
Three goals?
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be too one-sided.
I'll say 20 to 30.
Yep.
GWS v Essendon, Sydney Showground Stadium on Sunday. I've still got the Giants in my top six quarters, hanging on in sixth place. I've got Essendon in fifth, but I just think, I don't think Danaher's playing yet. He's not playing several weeks with a calf problem.
At least 4 weeks.
No Cale Hooker with a calf problem.
Massive out.
I think the Giants will get this done.
So Essendon were really good in the back end of last year, and let's not forget minus Danaher, because he didn't play much after mid-season. So they're capable. And I think Essendon will be the big surprise. I think they'll be the big improver this year, will climb into the top four. I really believe that will happen this year. But I think they'll be susceptible early, and I think this is at GWS. GWS, really interesting year for them. They have had a drain. There's been a big drain on them, and I think the midfield is still good as any, but they only need an injury or two, and they'll come back to the pack, which is why I expect GWS not to be – I don't think they're top four this year. I think this particular game they'll win. It's at home. I think this will be about a 4-5 goal win for GWS.
Okay, I won't tip it by that much. I think it'll be under 20 points, but I think early in the season, I agree, their best will be out there and they'll be up and going. They won't be banged up, and I think their best is still pretty bloody good. And I agree. I think I have Essendon fifth. Just above GWS, but I think it will take them a little while to really get rolling.
And Dylan Scheel returning to his old stomping ground now at a key
part. It'll be a big hostile crowd.
Yeah. The interesting thing
they'll
is
they'll both be booing.
I think they will be. I think the stats there.
And they'll both be big. I think they'll come straight from Hungry Jack's. They'll be big and they'll be booing.
Oh, I don't know where they come from, but it's not my favourite part of the world out there, that particular part of Western Sydney, I can tell you. It's like the moon. But The Dylan Shield, the stats I think are that he'll have played more at that ground than everyone bar one of the GWS players.
Yeah, well, he was a very consistent player, a very, very good player.
So he knows the paddock pretty well, Dylan Shield, and he'll be pretty keen to impress. I think he'll be a great pickup, and I think the outs of Essendon are big. I still think they'll get off to a good start. They got off to a horrible start last year, Essendon, and that cost them because they were arguably the best side in the second half of the year.
Well, I think I remember it was round about round two or around there. Fremantle gave them a nice tickle up at
Big reloading inside the coach's box. I think Mark Neal left.
Mark Neal left, yes.
And so, look, there's a lot to like about the Bombers. I just think they'll GWS will get this one done. Final game on Sunday. Really interested in this one. And I looked at the tipping in the West today. This is Freo v North Melbourne at Optus Stadium.
So this is your 50-50 game.
Oh, right, classic 50-50 game.
The bookies say $1.90 each. And yep. I think the tipsters split down the middle.
Yeah, I reckon they're about 55-45. I'm going to say 55 Freo.
And I think
north.
You're going north?
I am going north. I think I was probably just going north before Jesse Hogan was withdrawn from the squad, and now he's not there. I'm just questioning their ability to score. Freo, still a lot of talent in that midfield led by Fife. I think we're all looking forward to seeing Fife's round one performance because most people have got him really firm up in their Brownlow markets.
And against Cunnington, who's a very, very good player.
Yeah. Now, Ben Jacobs is not playing, so that's going to help them. He's still suffering from KO issues. A couple of big outs in defence, so obviously Magic Dawe's not going to be there this year.
No Scotty Thompson.
And no Scotty Thompson. I think Tarrant's still playing, so it's a good week to have holes in your defence if you're North Melbourne.
Tarrant, interesting enough, though, has had a very limited build-up, hasn't he? He's had the shoulder concern, and he was really racing the clock to get up for this. Nathan Fyfe hasn't played, of course. We don't expect that to be an issue, but we'll watch that with interest, given he had the elbow bursa surgery. And I'll be interested to see how Fremantle structure up. I hope they take the punt with McCarthy and give him an opportunity.
So do I. And, you know, I really enjoyed the article you wrote this week with Dermot, quoting Dermot Brereton. And Dermot's point was when he was coaching the young forwards at GWS for a period, and you're talking Rory Lobb, Jeremy Cameron, Jonathan Patton, and he said that McCarthy, his natural flight to the footy, he was the most courageous of the lot of them in terms of his flight to the footy, and he just sensed that he'd been playing with too much structure, and perhaps if he was just let to unbutton the collar a bit and go for it.
He looks like a guy who's been playing with restrictions, and he's not sure what he wants to do. He's not sure whether he wants to fly or not, and when he does fly, he doesn't really commit to the fly. And Dermot's right. I remember Cam McCarthy playing in the 18s competition, and he was a gung-ho go at everything, centre-half forward. Used to take big contested catches, beautiful kick, could kick goals from a long way out, and that was why he was a first-round draft pick. I rang Dermot to talk about McCarthy because I thought there was a strong chance he would play, and I knew Dermot was a huge fan, just from what I've heard him say about him in commentary. And I thought, well, let's get this guy's thought. This guy has a few runs on the board when it comes to playing in big matches at centre-half forward, and he certainly talked him up. So that'll be fascinating to see.
So we're saying Ross Lyon, give him his wings. The runway is clear. You've got license to fly.
Clear for takeoff, Cam.
Clear for takeoff. Off you go.
Yep.
Really interesting here. North Melbourne, we've always been great admirers the way they've built their contested ball in the middle, but now they've got a bit of outside run. Polak, Pittard, Hall. Hall comes in, doesn't he?
Yeah. Aaron Hall. So,
and also, they've got some kids now. I really like the look of Bailey Scott. Now, if you hark back to the 80s and 90s, you remember Geelong and North Melbourne, Robert Scott.
Same hairdo, too.
Yeah, and he was a very upright sort of running player, rigid type, really good footballer. And Bailey's got a lot of that in him. They love him there. They think he's going to. And Taron Thomas is the other one, the kid from Tassie with big raps on him.
He's clever, Taron Thomas. Just watching him play, I think the game I saw him play was against Port Adelaide in the last JLT Community Series game. And he is very clever. It'll be interesting to see how Polak fits in. It will be interesting to see who Ross Lyon sends a tag to.
Higgins?
Well, it's either Higgins or Polak, isn't it? I think they're the outside runners that could really sting you.
The player we haven't mentioned now, they've got Riches, I guess, in the middle now. Ezebel is going to be able to play forward more regularly, probably 80-90% now, I think, because we saw what he was capable of last season, and I think so he'll be planted in the forward line. You know, the more I talk about it, the more I talk myself into a North Melbourne tip, but I think we can't underestimate the home ground advantage. You know, Freo's, they've got a long injury list, but those players who are out there will be fresh, and it is home. They really need to win this one.
This is a massive game for Freo. There's one reason and one reason only I'm tipping Fremantle, and that is it is at home. And I think the events of this week will galvanise them a little bit. I think those sort of events tend to.
Yep.
You don't want them lingering too long because it's a short-term fill-up, the old galvanisation process. So you don't want to be relying on it in round three, round four, round five. But I think it will steal them a little bit for what is a massive first game for them. If they win this, They can go to the Gold Coast. They will probably start favourites against the Gold Coast up there, and they will come back and they'll probably start favourites against St Kilda here.
That's right. So they could be 3-0, but they lose it, on the other hand.
Then the pressure goes
on. And you're going to the Gold Coast, and you know,
you don't want to lose to the Gold Coast on the Gold Coast.
With the Freo forward setup, we've all been looking forward, or are looking forward, to seeing how it looks like when Hogan comes into that side.
Mm.
And my gut feeling, Duff, is it could be round 2 or 3. I don't think it'll be too long before we see him back in the side. But I think with the one thing we want to see is Sean Darcy fully fit. He comes into the side. Now, that allows Rory Lobb to play more regularly in attack, which is what he's there for. So I think that'll be really interesting. We will get a good look at Rory Lobb in the forward line on Sunday. He's looked pretty good. I think he's been the pick of him for mine in the preseason of those tools.
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, I thought, I'd go with Brendan Cox, but Brendan Cox had the hamstring injury early. So Brendan Cox kicked 3 against Collingwood, had an early one against West Coast, pinged the hammy, was out of the game.
I think Lobb was called on to play in the ruck a bit too.
Yeah.
But I think I like what I saw of Lobb, and I think he'd be a really, really good pickup for them. So, we'll absolutely agree with you. They're not without a chance, Freo, but I'm just leaning to North, so I'm going to go with them.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We wish you the best of luck with your tiff. We wish you and your team the best of luck for the 2019 season, and in particular round 1.
And round 1, Duff, is the round where Monday morning around the water coolers, most people are walking around with their pants around the ankles because they've just got about 4 right. You know what I mean? It's the weekend. There's always some upsets. Round 1's a hard round to jag. It really is.
And it often decides tipping competition quarters. Because
it does.
After round 1, you can settle into tipping favourites, get a pretty solid return most weeks, and stay in front. The guy that ends up 4 out the back in round 1, he's really struggling after that.
He's got the pants around the ankles around the water cooler on Monday morning.
Thank you for joining us. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday to dissect the round and all the ramifications of what has happened, the winners and the losers. Glenn Quatermain, thank you.
Pleasure.
We'll be back again in a few days' time.
Bring it on.